Grab the old ladies and grab the babies. Look out, gadzooks and great kebab of riches. Here comes the colonel.
Yes, of course, that's right. And along with me comes a cast of thousands. You get all for the same low price. Yes, they started paying me nothing here, and they said if I was really good in a week, they'd double it. And they've been doing that ever since. They told me when I started, they said, we'll pay you what you're worth. And I said, I'm terribly sorry, but I can't work that cheap. So, anyway, I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. We're going to get on to our interview in just a minute with Fran Staples, the Director of Sales with the Explore Digital Library. That's the IEEE library that goes back to antiquity with some sensational stuff. I mean, things from Edison, right? Westinghouse. Oh, I mean to tell you, everything is in this library, and they're going to be presenting that at the IEEE Homeland Security Technologies Conference. It's going on November 12th through the 14th at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts. You can find out more about that at our website on the right-hand side of your screen at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information here on the set and for today's query. What do you say?
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Yes, I see. We have awakened the spirit of the fountain by throwing in the coins. All right, oh, spirit of the fountain, here is today's query. This is one you won't get because you don't have any teeth. What U.S. state produces the most toothpicks? Now, we're talking about wooden toothpicks. What state in the United States produces the most wooden toothpicks? Yeah, I thought so. Not easy one for you, is it? Ponder this one, oh, spirit of the fountain. Come on, you can get it. Let's go.
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell the others.
Aha! The spirit of the fountain, who knows all, sees all, hears all, and tells all for a price. Knows everything. The state that produces the most wooden toothpicks? That, of course, is the state of Maine. Yeah, the state of Maine. All right, well, back to today's guest. So, in just a minute, the long-awaited introduction to Fran Staples, Director of Sales for the Explore Digital Library. That's the IEEE library with such, you know, incredible collection from the very beginning. But taking us up to the interview is, of course, some strains from our Science News studio band. What do you say? Yes, of course, the Science News Studio Band taking us up to our interview, as promised, with Francis Staples. He's the Director of Sales for the Explore Digital Library, a fascinating collection. Let's get into this. Well, if you listen to the program regularly, you know that we're really excited about the upcoming Homeland Security Technology Conference coming up in the middle of November in Boston. Really significant this year being in Boston. And to cover kind of the highlights of it, we're real lucky today. We have with us a guy by the name of Fran Staples. He's Director of Sales for IEEE's Explore Digital Library. And this is some fascinating, fascinating stuff. And we're so happy to have Fran with us. Welcome to the program, Fran.
Oh, Colonel, thank you for having me. Appreciate the time.
Now, the IEEE Explore Digital Library is unique, and it's something that is very special, and I wonder, give us an overview of this.
Okay, sure. IEEE happens to be a very large technical publisher.
Mm-hmm.
Some think of us as probably the most important technology publisher that's out there. And our database consists of over 3 million articles authored by many IEEE members and technologists from around the world. And frankly, on a daily basis, some of the world's most important companies use the data set to help them make better decisions faster,
mm-hmm.
get their products to market more quickly. In the case of the Homeland Security Technology Conference, make people safer, develop technologies that are going to be more effective in detecting and preventing events such
mm-hmm.
as maybe we saw in Boston not that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And so what you're doing with the digital library is taking this massive amount of knowledge that has been contributed over the year, and you put it together in a digital form so that people can index it and get to it. Tell us how that works.
Well, sure. The IEEE itself has been around since, 1894, at least in its first version, and we've been publishing pretty much since. So our members and our authors are very prolific. There's a lot of problems out there to solve, especially in the realm of technology. So on a weekly basis, we probably get upwards of 1,000 or maybe even 2,000 manuscripts submitted to us that require publication. And we do our very best to get those publications processed rapidly, uploaded into the database, and available to be searched so that folks can get in there and find out if the problem they're trying to solve has already been solved, or at least if the problem they're trying to solve, somebody else is also having a problem with it. So it definitely creates an opportunity for collaboration. It certainly, as I'd mentioned initially, helps people solve their problems faster with what's out there. And frankly, sometimes if you have a problem and there's no known solution, then you're kind of in on your own and what to expect, and can look at the database for hints and other topics, perhaps tangential, but you really get in there to figure out how you can apply what you already know alongside what somebody else has already published. I mentioned the number of manuscripts we get on a weekly basis. I also mentioned the fact that we've been around since 1894. Obviously, the World Wide Web didn't exist back then, and most of our publications up until the late 80s were in print only.
Yeah.
So over the last, it's been 5-10 years now since we've digitized just about everything back to Volume 1,
mm-hmm.
Issue 1.
Really?
Of all of the IEEE publications. When I say the IEEE, going back that far, certainly you have the AIEEE and you also have the IRE, which is the two predecessor organizations that now IEEE represents. Millions and millions of manuscripts are in there, and when you get in there, if you know what you're searching for, you should be very happy with the results, and if you don't know what you're searching for, I think you'll be happy with what comes back serendipitously.
So this is so comprehensive that you might even find Westinghouse in there, or Edison, or some of the other great leaders of the early 20th century. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. If I go back, one of my favorite covers is Proceedings of the AIEE back in, I think it was 1894, and it was the Edison light bulb, just a quick pencil sketch of the Edison light bulb.
Yeah.
So you can find graphics such as that in our database now. Obviously, technology has advanced far beyond the Edison light bulb and other issues of the time, but anybody going in today to the data set is going to be confronted with state-of-the-art, quote-unquote bleeding-edge research on certain emerging technologies, but they're also going to be able to readily find seminal works, say, from someone like Claude Shannon, and they're side-by-side and presumably based on the searches run relevant to the person who's looking in the database.
All right, and you're going to give a demonstration of this at the conference, and as director of sales, you're going to be encouraging people to buy what? Access or to buy the entire library?
Well, I think front and foremost, we want to expose ourselves to the market, to the user community, and make sure they understand that we, as a publisher, and certainly as a very, you know, the world's largest professional association, exist to support them. I mean, it really is our vision. We want to be essential to the global technology community, and we want that. We want technical professionals everywhere to recognize us as you know, important contributors to technology, and that, you know, in turn, we're part of a very big process, and we take, you know, original work submitted to us by our authors, dress them up, and make them available online in a very easily findable, if not digestible, format, so that when they have a problem, they can look to us to help them solve it. So we want to expose ourselves to just about all engineers out there, and certainly this particular community meeting in Boston certainly has a lot of technological challenges laid at their feet, and we want, IEEE wants to be part of the solution. We want to help them find answers to the problems that confront us both as a society and, you know, as a nation.
Well, of course, that's valuable and laudable, and I'm most impressed that IEEE has gone to the bother of doing all this. I mean, you have some extremely valuable things then in this Explore Digital Library. But as I was kind of getting at, do people buy the library to take home and have it in their own library, or do they buy access to the library, or do they buy when they download key information from the library? What do people buy?
Well, very good questions, and actually all of the above to a certain extent, because it's such a large database. The majority of our customers, very large Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 customers, often buy complete access for their entire user community. So, you know, before when I said user community, I primarily meant practicing engineers, electrical engineers, folks involved in telecommunications, etc. But as you had mentioned earlier, we've become so much more comprehensive, and the world of technology is just expanded. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you do any reading on the machine-to-machine, the Internet of Things, you realize, you know, shucks, refrigerators are now more technologically advanced than I think anyone would have ever predicted, and connected to an Internet and soon to an iPhone. So we sell to very large corporations who have some specific research and development objectives. We sell to individuals, perhaps one article at a time or under certain packages based on membership that would satisfy their need or appetite for IEEE. And then in between, there's other options where you can buy a set number of downloads for a specific price. But the Explore database that we're talking about here, that I'd like to emphasize, is freely available to be searched. It's completely available to all engineers around the world. Come in, take a hard look, run a search. If you happen to be, you know, working or studying at a university that has access, or working for a corporation that has access, you'll have no issue getting access to the full text PDF. If, however, you're not part of either one of those communities or others that have secured access, you're going to be confronted with some options. You know, the ability to buy one article at a time, or some other subscription package. But we'd like to think it's very easy to get access to, very easy to search, at least, you know, topically search. But it can get sophisticated for the user that wants it to be. And then once you find what you're looking for, there's, you know, multiple ways to get access to the full text.
Well, Fran, we're really excited to see you at the Homeland Security Technologies Conference. It's going to be November 12th through the 14th at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts. That's Boston, suburb of Boston. And for those who want to know more about it, go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of the screen, you'll see a link, and it'll take you right to the website for the IEEE 2013 International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies. Now, what have we missed, Fran? What haven't we covered with this?
Well, this is obviously, this particular community is growing. And I think the number of threats that we as a society face are not just, you know, government versus government, or, you know, I think terrorism is certainly something you hear about all the time, but, you know, certainly cyber warfare, cybersecurity, just the ability to detect patterns and simulate. A lot of these are technologies that IEEE does a very good job of again, helping the practicing engineer do his or her job better. So, you know, one of the things, one of the lines I want to draw is IEEE is not out there building a simulator or doing any kind of predictive modeling or coming up with any chipsets or anything of that nature. Rather, we're supporting those that do. In this case, I also think we're helping support the folks that are driving policy by helping them understand what's out there in the technology landscape, what's emerging, what's a little too far out there to be invested in right now as far as products and services. However, what's worth investing research and development dollars. We are very gratified to be, you know, as an organization, a sponsor of the Technologies for Homeland Security Conference, you know, this year in Boston. I'm also even more proud as Director of North American Sales to say that many of the other sponsors, those that are lending technical support or, mm-hmm. or other sponsorships, are customers of ours.
Yeah.
So we do have a very nice, strong footprint in the defense sector and other large technology contributors here. So our customers are involved, our members are involved, and our the people we're interested in helping, again, practicing engineers and those involved in technology are involved in this conference, so we want to be.
Oh, it's exciting, Fran, very much. So glad that you're going to be with us in Boston at the conference. I wonder if you wouldn't mind, this could be frivolous or it could be something serious, but would you put on the meditation cap here for just a minute? Give us kind of a look of 5, 10 years or 20 years, longer down the line, and give us a prediction for the future. What do you see? You have anything for us?
The future? Yeah. Well, you know, I've recently been exposed to the machine-to-machine Internet of Things, and it fascinates me how connected our lives are going to be. And I think I don't have a prediction for it to say per se, but boy, 20 years from now, our lives are going to look much different, and the phones that are in our pocket are going to be even more important to us. You know, just the ability to control our lives. You know, just you look at now, you know, I can control the temperature of my home from the desk I'm sitting 30 miles away. Where is that going to lead us? So I really look to the Internet of Things to have a positive impact on our lives. The other thing I'm looking forward to dealing with traffic is driverless cars. You know, I think within 20 years I will be able to get into the automobile, punch in the GPS, and not be responsible for the rights and the lefts, rather just getting out when it gets me there.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I have to admit to a certain amount of trepidation, because I know what happens when things don't fail safe. And we count on our technologies to work all the time, but already we know the air conditioning does go off, the power does go off, the relays break down, and things when they fail, and if they fail, if they don't fail safe in driverless cars, there could be some serious consequences. So I'm kind of looking to see how that develops.
Yeah, I think some of the people I've been privileged to watch, and some of the things I've been able to read by virtue of my position here at IEEE, lead me to believe that, you know, a couple of cycles from now, it'll be a viable technology. But yes, right now, maybe in a parking lot.
Hi. You're so funny. All right. Now, IEEE has always had kind of a vision. Fran, you work so closely in the IEEE inner workings. Give us a look. What's the IEEE vision?
Well, the vision is actually, it comes off lofty, but I couldn't believe in something more. I mean, frankly, we want to be essential to the global technology community and to the technical professionals everywhere. We, to a certain extent, are, but we want to be universally recognized for the contributions of technology and technology professionals that are out there day-to-day improving the global condition. Our mission is probably more succinct, and again, something I believe in very strongly, and that is IEEE exists to foster technological innovation and excellence for the benefit of humanity. That's what we all IEEE employees, volunteers, and members strive toward.
How about a word of wisdom for us? Maybe give us something that you might pass on to somebody that you really cared about on the program. What do you have for us?
Well, it's interesting. A few years ago, I was privileged to attend coursework at the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School of Business, and one of the professors there instilled in me something that I really think I've taken to heart and been able to benefit myself career-wise and those I work with, and that is, frankly, use data to define and not defend a position. I think oftentimes many of us are so interested in being right that we'll go out and find data that supports our position, and a lot of times that data indicates, you know, perhaps that we're right or a portion of our argument is correct, but rather there's more to be said or thought. So, you know, on a day-to-day basis, I look to find data that helps define what I'm going to do that day, week, month, year, as opposed to use data to defend what I haven't done or why I've chosen to do what I want to do.
All right. Fran, that's very, very fun stuff. And I want to thank you so much for being with us. Fran Staples, Director of Sales, IEEE Explore Digital Library. We're going to get to see him and see the library and how it works at the IEEE 2013 International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies, the 12th through the 14th in Boston, Massachusetts. Thanks so much, Fran. We really enjoyed having you.
Hey, Colonel, thank you very much, and I hope the conference goes off without a hitch.
No doubt, it will. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Well, what I would encourage is actually to study geography. or adopt and embrace a geographical way of thinking and solving problems. So, you know, there's a few elements to that. One is, you know, if there's a landscape or an environment that you love or you're interested in, there is so much available information to understand that place and even contribute to some of the available information about that place. So I really think that geography as an actionable tool can really help us understand problems. And I think part two of that, embracing these technologies, not only as an organization, but in an individual's professional career, what we're seeing is the geospatial industry, the GIS industry, is growing so quickly and has been diversifying into so many different sectors over so many years that it's a really great thing to add to your current professional discipline. So whatever you might be doing, sort of having the ability to incorporate geography and mapping and GIS into that can be really powerful. And I think particularly for young professionals in developing countries that, you know, may have jobs today with major nonprofits or with a local government, that you know, maybe they're working their way up into an IT career, or you know, trying to just get get started in a career and have an opportunity to interface with a lot of these folks, that I really encourage that embrace of geography and GIS studies and professional development, because I really think that's going to be a very strong complement to their career and their ability to make a living leveraging geography and GIS. I'm David Gadsden, and I'm the Global Program Lead for ESRI's Nonprofit Organization Program.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.